Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, January 24th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, Kentucky travels to Knoxville, Tennessee for tonight's SEC battle. The preseason number one team in college basketball has a losing record in their conference. A former Kentucky player accuses the kids today of doing exactly what he did just a few years ago. CBS finds a way to milk more money out of college basketball fans. The Bengals have a dilemma on their hands thanks to Pac-Man Jones. Why you should never bet on NBA regular season games. And we try to pick some basketball games tonight, including one upset special that we've been looking forward to for a couple of weeks now. So let's go.
You are listening live.
Kentucky versus Tennessee, live, 9 o'clock from Knoxville. We know about Kentucky, 17-2, 7-0 in the SEC. But what about Tennessee? 10-9, 3-4 in the SEC. Their big wins on the year, their biggest win was at Vanderbilt by 12 points. Oh, by the way, Kentucky won at Vanderbilt by 6 points. Tennessee also won at Texas A&M, and their biggest win out of conference was at East Tennessee State. Now, you may laugh. East Tennessee State, according to Ken Pomeroy, the number 62 team in the nation. But that's Tennessee's third best win on the year. They've got some clunker games that they've lost, too. They lost to Wisconsin by 12. They lost to Oregon, back when Oregon was struggling, by 4 in overtime. Everybody seems to remember a Sunday afternoon in December when Tennessee went to North Carolina, led almost the entire game, and wound up losing by 2 points. Every time people talk about Tennessee basketball in the month of January, everybody goes back to that game against North Carolina that seemingly everybody saw. They also lost to Gonzaga by 10 points. Oh, by the way, since all those pre-conference games, they don't have their second leading scorer from those games because he was kicked off the team. Tennessee also 1-2 at home in the SEC with losses to Arkansas and South Carolina. So what do they do on the court? Well, they don't shoot three-pointers very well. 286th in America in three-pointers. Ken Pomeroy says this is an offensive team. 49th in the nation in offense, 76th in defense. They play a lot of players. They are 16th in America in bench minutes. So they sub guys in and out quite a bit. Tennessee's played a very tough schedule this year. According to Ken Pomeroy, the third toughest schedule in America. And this is a young team, too. They start three freshmen, a sophomore, and a senior. When Tennessee wins, it's because of free throws. They're 37th in the nation in made free throws. They're 314th in allowing other teams to make free throws. Now, we're not talking about free throw defense here. Do you wave your arms on the foul lane very much to distract the shooter? But we're talking about they don't foul very much. And when they do, the other teams don't hit their free throws. We're looking at a high-scoring game tonight. Other teams, when they play Tennessee, they use 16 seconds on average of the shot clock. That's the 16th lowest in the country. And as we all know, Kentucky has been in the top 10 all year in lowest time per possession. So you're looking at a high-scoring game right here. Hubs is their leading scorer at 14.7, but their best player for our money is Grant Williams, the freshman, number 2, 10.8 points a game, 5.5 rebounds a game. And as we all know, Rick Barnes, who we often call the Johnny Jones of the SEC East, has pissed away more talent than any coach known to mankind. This guy lost double digits with Kevin Durant at Texas. How do you lose double-digit games at Texas with Kevin Durant? Oh, and by the way, you had DJ Augustine, another first-round pick. You had Dexter Pittman, who also played in the NBA for a while. A team was loaded, and you lost double-digit games. That's Rick Barnes, ladies and gentlemen. Kentucky, as of this taping, a 9.5-point favorite. The big question, will De'Aaron Fox play? It looks like he will play, but there's no 100% guarantee. All the numbers favor Kentucky, obviously. And Kentucky 9-3 in their last 12 SEC games against the number. Whereas Tennessee this year against the number hasn't been very good. But don't forget last year, Tennessee beat Kentucky in Knoxville by 7 points. And in both meetings last year, Tennessee covered both games. So with that number sitting at 9.5, and not knowing if De'Aaron Fox 100% officially is going to play, this is a game I want to stay away from. We'll call it 89-80. We think Tennessee will be able to put up a lot of points tonight, and we won't call this one of our official dogs against the spread picks, but we'll call it 89-90 Kentucky and just hope for the best. But I'll say this right now. If Kentucky is to lose a road game in the SEC, not named Florida, this is going to be the one, even in spite of Rick Barnes' questionable coaching skills.
Stop. Hammer time.
One player who's had seemingly a quiet but yet good season, Bam Adebayo, was the topic of Kenny Payne's press conference on Monday, in which Payne said that Bam needs to find his inner DeMarcus Cousins. Oh, please, God, no. Do you want everybody on that team to be miserable and pissed off all the time? It's one thing to be that way on the court, but DeMarcus Cousins is just an old curmudgeon who hates everybody and makes everybody miserable. Might want to find a new analogy for Bam there, Kenny Payne.
5.9.
Tonya Harding is the 1994 national champion.
Last night in college basketball, North Carolina State, who this time yesterday was 2-5 in the ACC with 0 wins, out of conference versus a Power 5 team. Their best out of conference win this year was Loyola of Chicago. So what do? They go to Duke and pull off the upset with Dennis Smith Jr. getting 32 points. By the way, outside of these Kentucky kids, how many freshmen have you heard more hype about since the season started than this Dennis Smith Jr. from North Carolina State? But typical North Carolina State, they win the big games. It's just they lose all the crappy ones. Mark Gottfried, the master of this, 2 years ago, he beat Villanova in the NCAA tournament in the second round, making a Villanova piccolo player famous for about 15 minutes as she cried, and so did I, as my brackets would be torn up after that. But I digress. So Duke, now 3-4 in the ACC, 2-3 under Jeff Capel, so much for him being the next Coach K. And before last night, Duke at home versus unranked teams had won 124 games in a row. That streak is over. Capel has no idea who he's playing. He doesn't know his rotation. This team, I'm sorry, this team's in trouble. I'm looking at this Duke schedule. They're 3-4 in the ACC now. Their next two games, at Wake, toss up. At Notre Dame, I think I'll take Notre Dame. Oh, and by the way, when they start February, they go to North Carolina. They also go to Virginia. There's two losses again right there. You heard it here first. Duke, 500 team in the ACC. Coach K or no Coach K? Oh, but it wouldn't be a Duke game without a Grayson Allen shoving incident. Yes, it did happen. Trouble just seems to follow this poor kid around. And I say poor kid, obviously got a lot of issues. But he's earned such a bad reputation that players on other teams are just waiting for this guy to do something. So NC State beats Duke for the first time in Durham since 1995. Just so happens that was the last time that Coach K took a sabbatical with a lousy team mid-season. Coincidence? I think not.
It's down to 7 seconds. Wittenberg, oh, it's a long ways. Oh! They won it! On the dunk! And the team of destiny, the Cardiac Kids, North Carolina State, has captured their second NCAA championship. Have you ever seen more emotion than at the end of this game?
Gonzaga wins, but doesn't cover, as we predicted yet again here on the bottom line. Now Gonzaga 20-0, number one seed locked up apparently, right? Well, guess what? The NCAA Tournament Committee has seen what the College Football Committee has done, and CBS is now reporting that on Saturday, February 11th, there's going to be an announcement by the Tournament Selection Committee of the top 16 teams. Now, what will this prove? Basically nothing. It'll just tell us who the top 16 teams are a month before the tournament starts. So they're basically doing what college football does, and this can only help fans. It can only help people follow the NCAA tournament more, because look what it does for college football. Those polls that they release every Tuesday night in college football before the actual playoff teams are announced, those polls are useless. And what happens? Just a bunch of talking heads on ESPN spouting off opinions that don't mean anything. So what are they going to do with college basketball? Same exact thing. Try to get people upset. Try to get people to talk about their sport, because God knows college basketball needs a boost in January and February. Because, as we all know, college basketball in most of the country, not here in Kentucky, but most of the country, is a one-month sport. because before March, nobody watches these games. And after the tournament, nobody cares about college basketball until next March, when they can fill out their brackets. I know it seems like heresy to speak like that here in Lexington, but I can promise you, it's the truth.
Sim! What y'all know about Sim? Pay me.
Boy, you are the damn devil.
Steve Masiello was a former player for Kentucky under Rick Pitino back in the 90s, and he is now the coach of Manhattan. Steve Masiello, 39 years old. And he went on a tirade last night after his game, saying that today's generation is a fraudulent generation, in which kids of today can post and look however they want to look on social media, pose for pictures, and do whatever it takes to make themselves look better or happier than they really are. Steve Masiello, a fraudulent society. By the way, when was the last time you heard from Steve Masiello? Oh yeah, in 2014, Masiello agreed to become the coach at South Florida. But South Florida nixed that after Masiello had told them that he graduated from UK. And then after doing some research, they found out he did not graduate from UK. And somehow, someway, Manhattan, where he was coaching before this whole thing started, took him back and let him be the coach again. Now, a couple of months later, he did everything he needed to do to get that degree, and now he does have a degree from UK, but it seems very ironic to me that a man who was talking about today's fraudulent generation was a man who didn't get a better job because he falsified his resume. And oh, by the way, the bloom has gone away from that flower of Masiello's coaching career. He made the tournament in 2014 and 2015 after all this happened. But last year, he was 13-18. This year, 7-14. If he keeps coaching like this and keeps making statements like that, he'll need that college education to fall back on because he won't be coaching very much longer.
Zuki Johnson is nominated for calling in a bomb threat to the Special Olympics, man! Hey.
College football, the Heisman Trophy odds are already out if you're crazy enough to make a bet on the Heisman Trophy on January 24th. And who's the favorite? Obviously Lamar Jackson, right? He is the Heisman Trophy winner, and he's returning to his team. No, it's not. It's Baker Mayfield in Oklahoma, 11-2. Then Lamar Jackson must be second, right? No, he's not. It's JT Barrett at Ohio State, 6-1. Then Lamar Jackson at 7-1. And like we said, you're crazy if you make a bet on the Heisman Trophy in January. But it just shocks me that Lamar Jackson, who was hands down the Heisman Trophy winner this year, isn't even in the top two going into next year simply because he had a mediocre game against LSU in the bowl game. By the way, last time I looked, JT Barrett didn't exactly light up Clemson in their bowl game either. In fact, he got shut out.
Nice high kick, got a little wind under it, and it runs Howard back up, but it's a little, look at that.
Been a hell of an offseason for Oregon football. They hired Willie Taggart, the former Western Kentucky coach. And since that's happened, all hell has broken loose. Their strength coach put three players in the hospital. And depending on who you ask, it's either A, because he worked them too hard, or B, because those players were fat and out of shape. Nevertheless, that strength coach was suspended, but he kept his job. Now, they hired an offensive coordinator who goes out last weekend and gets a DUI 5 days after he was hired, and now he's going to be fired and they have to go look for another offensive coordinator. Sheesh, that's a bad look for Oregon. By the way, Chip Kelly's out of a job. The heyday of Oregon football was under Chip Kelly. Just saying.
He's always like that. He's always telling fibs, lying. When do you ever tell the truth?
You're a good-looking guy.
What?
Lied again, didn't I?
Jim Harbaugh at it again. Since the NCAA put the kibosh on him doing his little practices all over the country, and especially in the South where he can stick it to the SEC, now he's going to take his little song and dance to Italy for spring practice drills. If you're Harbaugh, why in God's name are you having football practice in Italy? Michigan released a statement saying that the football team will spend a week in Italy this spring for a week of education and spring drills. Yeah, you're going to get a lot of education over in Italy. See, last year he did this in Bradenton, Florida. This year, Italy. Where's he going to do this next year? On Mars?
Well, you know, that's how my people like to handle their business. While your guys are out partying, mine are running routes. Try to make a difference.
Today's winner of the Captain Obvious Award goes to USA Today. I read a headline in USA Today that said, Clemson might take a tumble without Deshaun Watson. Oh, you think? One of the best quarterbacks this century in college football, and you think that the defending national champions, who weren't a whole hell of a lot before Deshaun Watson got there, and then won a championship and got to the championship game with him, you think they might tumble just a little without him. Wow, there's a shocker. Thank you, USA Today, for pointing out what none of us would have ever figured out. Quarterbacks mean a hell of a lot in college football. Thank you so much.
If I gave you a dollar, you could keep most of the change, because all I really want is a quarterback.
Super Bowl 51, Falcons, Patriots. From Houston, Texas, the Falcons now America's team because so many people in America are rooting against the Patriots in this Super Bowl. And of course, the Tom Brady conjecture coming out of nowhere. People now questioning Brady's relationship with Donald Trump. Brady says it's no big deal, but apparently the naysayers of social media said it's a huge deal. Brady also said yesterday he has no issues and no animosity towards Roger Goodell. And if you believe that, you'll believe anything you hear. Of course, Belichick said yesterday that when the game ended on Sunday between his team and the Steelers, he had no idea if Atlanta had won earlier that day or not. There's another lie. Unbelievable. Oh, by the way, Bill Belichick was once the boss of Atlanta Falcons general manager Thomas Dimitroff. And a few years ago, when the Falcons wanted to trade up to get Julio Jones, Belichick advised his former understudy not to do it. What did Dimitroff do? He did it anyway. He traded 2 first rounders, a second rounder, and 2 fourth rounders to trade up 15 spots to get Julio Jones. Did it pay off? Hell yeah, it paid off. Advantage Falcons. But then again, people have been betting against the Falcons all year long. Before the year, if you had voted for Matt Ryan as the MVP, that was a 66-1 shot. And if you had tried to put money down on the Falcons to win the Super Bowl before the year started, that was a 150-1 shot. So if you'd put money on those two little props, you'd be sitting pretty right now, probably on a yacht somewhere. You ever hear the story about one man's trash is another man's treasure? What school has the most alumni in this Super Bowl? Ooh, you think Alabama, huh? Ohio State, right? No. Rutgers. Probably among the worst 5 Power 5 teams in college football, and it's not even a debate. Oh, and which NFL team has more of their former players in this game? Oh, you'd think some good teams out there. Maybe the Seahawks, maybe the Steelers, maybe the Packers. The Cleveland Browns, of course. So arguably the worst Power 5 team in college football, and not arguably, the worst team in the NFL for the last decade, has more of their former players in this Super Bowl. Coincidence? I think not.
You gotta ride a few players a little bit harder than some of the other players.
Blondie, you are killing me.
John, what do you got on there pants-wise? What is those? 3/4.
And I get those in the women's section, John!
By the way, props to the guy who pulled the alarm at the Steelers hotel at 3:40 in the morning, the night before the AFC Championship game. He was quoted yesterday as saying, I'm drunk, I'm stupid, I'm a Patriots fan. Well, he said it all right there, ladies and gentlemen. As they said at Animal House, fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
After a few days of practice, players gave me a nickname. Started small, but now they'll chant it at me every now and then. That's pretty nice.
What's the nickname?
Wanker.
Do you know what it means?
I think it just means great.
And if you're looking for a betting angle in this Super Bowl, and God knows you're going to hear enough of them for the next 2 weeks, the team that has worn the white jerseys in the last 12 Super Bowls has won 11 times. I'm sure Vegas is marking that down as we speak.
I've always believed brains will defeat brawn any day. I give you the genius.
More NFL. Adam Pac-Man Jones, the video of his arrest came out yesterday. And he was quoted as saying to the cops, I hope you die. And he told one cop to suck my, well, I think you can figure out the rest. Interesting to see now. Are the Bengals going to discipline this guy? Are they just going to cut him? After that video, I think you have to cut him if you're the Bengals. Especially for a guy that's been in the league over a decade. Is he that valuable to you that you have to keep him around?
You stink!
And by the way, back to the one man's trash is another man's treasure. Jamie Collins, who this season during the year, right before the trade deadline, was traded from the Patriots to the Browns, ironically enough, for a first-round pick, signed a 4-year, $50 million contract yesterday with the Browns. The Browns still ended up with the number one defense. So do you honestly think that the Patriots missed this guy? Probably not.
Words of wisdom. Drop that zero and get with the hero.
Johnny Manziel at it yet again. He comes out on Twitter yesterday and advises Trump not to listen to the player haters of the world. Just do your job. Ignore the hate. And about an hour after that, Johnny Manziel deleted his Twitter account, something he probably should have done about 5 years ago. So Johnny Manziel, who claims to be sober now and trying to get back into the league, not doing himself any favors on social media.
You're going to stay man-to-man with me. What happens when I make a play?
Making plays!
There was a black tie dinner affair over the weekend in which Tony Romo and John Elway posed for a picture together. Huh. Denver, needing a quarterback, has a great defense on the doorstep of a Super Bowl. All they need is a top-level quarterback. Tony Romo, now a backup. Makes you wonder.
I told him not to touch that midget. You never touch a midget. You never know where they've been.
You're disgusting. You're completely disgusting.
When you think Ray Lewis, what do you think? You think linebacker, one of the greatest defensive players in the history of the NFL. And now you think Kentucky bourbon. Ray Lewis is now going to come out with his own line of Kentucky bourbon. Nothing surprises me anymore. If you saw his announcing career, which came and went in seemingly the blink of an eye, you would have thought he was already partaking in his bourbon while he was on set at ESPN. Speaking of the Cleveland Browns and their eternal search for a quarterback that goes all the way back to seemingly Bernie Kosar and Brian Sipe, they asked Deshaun Watson to play in the Senior Bowl this week so they could get a better feel of what they had. Deshaun Watson is like, nah, I don't feel like it. And good for Deshaun Watson. He shouldn't have to prove himself in the Senior Bowl. He just won a national championship against, allegedly, the best defense in the history of college football. What more do you want this kid to do? And if he pisses off Cleveland, he gets drafted later in the first round by a team that's better off than Cleveland is anyway. Other than professional sports, if you're the best in college at what you do, you don't have to settle for going to the worst company after you get out of college. But in professional sports, if you are the best player in college, you have to go to the very worst team. So I find no fault at all in what Deshaun Watson said to Cleveland. In fact, I encourage it.
The bottom line is...
NBA! Ladies and gentlemen, this is why you do not bet on NBA regular season games. Golden State was 38-6. Going to Miami, 14-30. Golden State an 11-point favorite. What happens? Miami wins the game. Fair enough. Let's go to Cleveland. Cleveland's playing New Orleans. Oh, by the way, New Orleans, no Anthony Davis in the game. Easy money for Cleveland, right? No. Former Kentucky player Terrence Jones goes off, and New Orleans beats Cleveland. That, ladies and gentlemen, is why you do not bet on NBA regular season games. After Cleveland's loss, LeBron was pissed, calling out his front office, using plenty of curse words, saying that they needed more bodies, they needed a playmaker, and begging them to take action. And saying that his 2017 so far has been very crappy. Except he used another word for crap. Wait a minute. I thought LeBron James was the general manager of this team. And he was the guy who fired their coach David Blatt last year and brought in Tyronn Lue to be the head coach. Because LeBron is a little bit late for his annual two-week vacation that he usually takes during the season. No wonder he's pissed off and whining about how many bodies his team has. And back to Golden State. Yeah, I'd be pissed off too if I lost to a 14-30 team led by Dion Waiters. But after the game, Steve Kerr talked about players voting for the All-Star game and how ridiculous the players conducted themselves by not taking the voting seriously. Well, what the heck do you expect? If you're some kid worth millions of dollars and you suck and you're sitting on the end of the bench, you don't think you're going to strike back against the man and vote for a bunch of losers? Ben Simmons has never played a minute in the NBA. He got votes for the All-Star team. It's one thing to vote for yourself, but if you give the votes to these players, you get what you ask for. A lot of craziness. So it's not Steve Kerr's fault, it's the league's fault for actually thinking that the players wouldn't treat this like recess, which is exactly what they did.
Boom shakalaka!
Major League Baseball. Yordano Ventura was a pitcher for the Kansas City Royals for the last few years and was a member of the Royals World Series team in 2015 as well as their American League champion team in 2014. He passed away over the weekend in the Dominican after a car accident. And apparently now it's come out that he was still alive after the accident, but he was robbed as he was dying and the people who robbed him, quote unquote, finished him off after the accident. Wow, that's a bad way to go out. God bless his soul. It moved people in Kansas City so much that a 94-year-old man in hospice left to go pay his respects to Ventura. Now, Ventura had $20 million left on his contract, and that money will go to his family unless the toxicology report says that he had something in his system. For me, I don't care if it did or not. You still got the kid's family. But that's not the day and age we live in. Ventura, mostly when he was a pitcher, he was what was he most known for? Throwing at people's heads. He had several altercations with other teams. Throwing a little close, if you know what I mean. But still, big loss for the Royals, who were depending on Ventura to be a starter this year. You gotta wonder where this team is headed now, because our good friend at Fangraphs.com now have the Royals projected at 77 wins. And just 2 years ago, this team won the World Series, and they haven't lost a ton of players from that team. Bad times in Kansas City.
What's our record, Larry?
8-16.
8-16. How'd we ever win 8?
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Happy birthday, Rob Dibble, who's 53 years old. Two-time All-Star, but Dibble is almost a poster child for how relief pitchers were used 30 years ago and how they were abused 30 years ago. In 1989 and 1990, Dibble pitched 99 innings and 98 innings in those years. ERA 2.09 in 89 and the World Series year of 90, 1.74. He, along with Randy Myers, the MVP of the National League Championship Series in 1990, and deservedly so. Even the Pittsburgh Pirates, their opponents in 1990, would often say that if the Reds starting pitcher got through 5 innings, they knew the game was over because they'd come in with Randy Myers, Rob Dibble, and Norm Charlton. But after that 1990 season, it was almost over at that moment. In 1991, Dibble's stats not nearly as well, ERA 3.17. By 1993, he was 28 years old, and his ERA was 6.48. The next year, he alternated between the White Sox and the Brewers because the Reds gave up on him, and with neither team, he had an ERA under 6. So by the time Rob Dibble was 30, his career's over. Why? Because he was way overused and abused in his mid-20s by the Reds. So a guy like Dibble, who came out of the bullpen literally throwing nothing but gas and leading the league in appearances 2 years in a row, putting up almost 100 innings both years, it's going to end quickly and badly for a pitcher like that. So a guy like Dibble is a poster child now for how not to use relievers. But man, when it was going in those 2 years, 89 and 90, Dibble was the best relief pitcher in baseball. The shame of it is, it just doesn't last forever for guys who get overused and have nothing but a fastball.
Lansford, good hitting Oakland third baseman, and Myers bringing it. And the pitch is hit in the air, foul, off first, Benzinger backing and calling. And the 1990 World Championship belongs to the Cincinnati Reds.
Joe Buck will be the announcer for the Super Bowl, along with Troy Aikman. And he had a message for baseball fans yesterday in preparation for this, because it was brought up that he seemed to on-air root for the Cubs quite a bit. And to be honest, the Cubs winning the World Series was one of the biggest stories in baseball in forever. So of course you've got to root for the Cubs, somewhat. But I'm sure he wasn't openly rooting for the Cubs, especially for a guy whose father did the Cardinals games for seemingly forever. But he told his naysayers to just grow up about him rooting for the Cubs openly on air. Basically admitting, I guess he was rooting for the Cubs on air. Poor Joe Buck. This guy can't win. Whether you like him as an announcer or not, everybody says he got his job because of his father. And in today's world of social media backlash, no matter who you are as an announcer, you can't get away with hardly anything. And nobody is going to make everybody happy. Gone are the days of people like his father, Harry Carey, and people who just didn't piss anybody off at all. I always kind of felt sorry for Joe Buck because he had talent. He was just put in a position where he had no chance of succeeding in everyone's eyes. But he'll be broadcasting the Super Bowl for Fox yet again. You can't knock a man's hustle.
Getting a job as a sportscaster is hard, unless your dad was Jack Buck.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, smooth, Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver! Yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, Mac Daddy Stogie time. And as always, you can see our documented picks and our documented winners on our website, bottomlinelexington.com. www.podbean.com. Another winner last night, Portland plus 24 over Gonzaga. Now for the year, our underdogs against the spread, 65.2%. And our upset specials, 64.3%. All documented on this show and on our website. Anytime you can hit over 60% of your picks, that's a job well done. I don't care what league you're picking against. And we have two picks for tonight. One underdog against the spread and one upset special. Our underdog against the spread will go to the SEC. Arkansas, 15-4 overall, 4-3 in the SEC. Travels to Vanderbilt, 9-10 overall, 3-4 in the SEC. Vanderbilt, a 3.5-point favorite. And why not? They played teams very well in Nashville. We talked about it when Kentucky went to town. They have a weird gym. The benches are in the sidelines, blah, blah, blah. And Kentucky only won down there by 6 points. But don't forget, as we said earlier in the show, Tennessee went to Vanderbilt a couple of weeks ago and won by double digits. So Vanderbilt, certainly not invincible at home. Arkansas beat Vanderbilt last year by 5 points. And in their last 8 games against Vanderbilt, they're 6-2 against the spread. The numbers across the board say that this will be a very close game, a coin flip type game. And anytime you're going to give me the better team, which is Arkansas, and you're going to give me 3.5 points in a game that's considered a coin flip, I'll take the points every day of the week. Especially Vandy coming off a huge emotional win over the weekend at Florida. Before that Florida game, they had lost 4 games in a row. So you've got a huge emotional win for Vandy coming home to face Arkansas. Arkansas has won 3 in a row since losing to Kentucky earlier this month. So I'll take the Hogs getting 3.5 points in Nashville. Give us Arkansas plus 3.5 over Vandy. And our upset special for the night. In this matchup, one team has won 18 games in a row. The other team has lost 2 games in a row. Which team you think we're taking? The team that's lost 2 games in a row, number 2 Kansas, travels to number 18, West Virginia. And you talk about a clunker week last week. West Virginia had a clunker week. They were a double-digit home favorite against Oklahoma and lost that game at home. They were favored against Kansas State. They lost that game. So West Virginia sits in their conference 4-3, a very mediocre 4-3. Kansas, the number 2 team in the country. And oh, by the way, 85% of the money as of Tuesday morning was on Kansas in this game and not West Virginia. West Virginia's lost their last 3 games against the spread. That's a magic number for us. Anytime we see a team that's lost 3 in a row against the number, we like them the next game. And this isn't anything new. Kansas went to West Virginia last year and West Virginia beat them by 11 points as a dog. All the numbers are on West Virginia, but all the money's on Kansas. We'll take the numbers. And oh, by the way, do you think Bob Huggins has a little bit of incentive to win this game? Yes, he does. If he wins this game tonight, he gets $25,000. Why? His contract says anytime he beats Kansas, he gets an extra $25,000. So don't think that this is a game that Huggins is going to look past in any way, shape, or form. And if you think Kansas is not looking ahead, Kansas's next game is at Kentucky Saturday night. So just like when Baylor came to town exactly 2 weeks ago as the number 1 team in the nation and West Virginia beat them by 21, you might see that tonight as the number 2 team in Kansas makes the same trip. And don't forget, West Virginia, that full court press that they always play, they have forced more turnovers than any team in America. So we'll take West Virginia, number 18 West Virginia over Kansas, our upset special of the night. And you can take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them.
The underdog is howling. Gotta love an underdog when he howls. Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Absolutely nothing.
And that does it for the Tuesday, January 24th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Email anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And make sure to like us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.